Mentioned at the beginning, I want to give a special welcome to those of you who are new with us this evening, especially if you're new to D.C. as a city. This city, as you're going to find out, is largely a city of the uprooted. It's people who have uprooted themselves from home, from college, from grad school, and other places, and they've come here seeking their future. Maybe that describes you, or maybe that described you at some point. A city of the uprooted. But what you may also find out is that D.C., in many ways, is a city of the unrooted. A city of the unrooted. People often come here with a vision of making a difference in the world, whether through government policies or nonprofits, banking, business, the pursuit of justice. But what frequently happens, not always, but often, is that the selfish ambition, the corruption, the cutthroat nature of the city at times, it can begin to chip away at what anchors us. Slowly, ideals give way to cynicism, principles give way to compromise. And very soon, you're set very far adrift from where you were when you got here. A city. It's a city of the uprooted and also sometimes a city of the unrooted. City of the unrooted. Now, I don't want to sound unnecessarily grim because while most of us have uprooted to be here, we don't have to be unrooted while we're here. Listen again. Though we may be uprooted, we don't have to be unrooted. Though we may be uprooted, we don't have to be unrooted. Now, my main aim tonight is to comfort us in our uprootedness. To be uprooted can be very scary, but it is certainly no obstacle to God. So, I want us to find encouragement, even in the midst of uprootedness. But I also want to warn us against unrootedness. Unless we are rooted in God, no matter where we are going to find ourselves tossed by the winds, dashed against the rocks by forces that are much, much bigger than us and much less caring than the God who made us, the God who loves us and who redeems us. Though we may be uprooted, we don't have to be unrooted. What we're going to do tonight is look at why uprootedness was so scary for the Jewish leadership of Acts 7, but it shouldn't have been. And why it's scary for us, but that it doesn't have to be. And then we're going to look at the problem of unrootedness among that same leadership, and how unrootedness can be an equal problem for us today. So first, uprootedness, and then unrootedness. But before we go into all that, I want to set the context a little bit, because We jumped into this passage right at the beginning of Stephen's speech, and I want to look at what happened before that. So at this point in Acts, the church isn't all that old, and it's still 100% Jewish. It's still centered in Jerusalem, but it's about to get uprooted geographically, all the while remaining rooted in Jesus. In fact, it's the leadership of the people here in Acts 7 who, despite being rooted geographically in Jerusalem, they are unrooted from God. Now, in the immediate context before this passage, Stephen has been disputing with some men from a particular synagogue. And, as often happens in this city of politics, it happened to Stephen. If you can't defeat an opponent's argument, then just use a few buzzwords to cast your opponent in a negative light. And that's exactly what happened to Stephen here. And the buzzwords in this case were these: Moses and the temple. Moses and the temple. Stephen is speaking against Moses and the temple. That's what he's being accused of, right? But is that really what he's doing? I want to say it's not what he's doing. We're going to look at this. Let's start with the temple. Let's start with the temple. We're talking about the Jewish temple here. The temple that God had instructed his people to build in Jerusalem. And it's here that we're going to begin looking at specifically why uprootedness was so scary for the Jewish leadership of Acts 7. Now, in a nutshell, They couldn't imagine being uprooted from the temple. It was the symbol of their identity. To imagine Jewishness without a temple was tantamount to imagining America without D.C. So the perception that Stephen was speaking against the temple was on par with someone threatening to blow up the Capitol building. It was that radical. It struck at the heart of their identity. But more than just a symbol of their identity, the temple was the place of God's presence. Like the Shire and Hobbits, or Hogwarts and Dumbledore. So was the temple in God's presence. To the Jewish leadership of Acts 7, to be uprooted from the temple was to be uprooted from God's presence. But here's the thing, God didn't need the temple to communicate his presence, and the people didn't need the temple to be God's people. And I want us to notice how Stephen highlights that despite the repeated uprootedness in the history of God's people, God was still with them, and they were still his people. What Stephen has done basically is just recounted the history of God's people. And listen to the uprootedness. Verses 1 through 4. God was with Abraham in Mesopotamia, long before Abraham's descendants would ever possess the land of Israel. And then verses 9 through 16. God was with Joseph, enslaved in Egypt. God was with him. And God was with Joseph's father and his brothers when they all went down to Egypt for what would turn out to be a 400-year stay. God was with them. In verses 17 through 34, God was with Moses when he was born in Egypt and raised by Egyptians, when he had to flee to Midian. And then God spoke to Moses, not from a temple, but from a burning bush in the middle of the wilderness. Verses 35 through 43, God was with his people for the 40 years that they were uprooted. They were wandering in the desert after their rescue from Egypt. God was with his people through all of this uprootedness. And no temple was needed. No temple was needed. And even after Solomon finally built the temple, God had this to say, verse 48. The Most High, that's God, does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? God has never needed a temple. He has always been with his people throughout all of their uprootedness. But here's Stephen's main point about the temple, though he's not explicit about it. This is what he's getting at. God has superseded the temple in Jesus Christ. That has been the point of everything so far in Acts. God has come as the man Jesus, and he will be forever present among his people through his Holy Spirit. And in fact, his people, that's us, his people themselves have become God's new temple. Wherever we go, God is with us. As the Apostle Paul says, in Jesus, you believers are being built together into a holy temple, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So in light of all this, what is uprootedness from a place, from any place, when Jesus is always with us? Frodo didn't want to imagine life uprooted from the Shire. Harry didn't want to imagine life uprooted from Hogwarts. I have these things in the brain because I have three kids. But Frodo had Sam, right? And Harry had Hermione and Ron. I love the books too, just so you know. And what's even better than all of that is that you and I have Christ. We have the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been uprooted from home, from school, from a job, from another city where you had a life, you had a community, you had an identity. And maybe you're about to be uprooted from here. And during your time here, you have found a life, you have found a community, you have found an identity. And God knows the fear. He knows the hardships of uprootedness. But he promises to be faithfully present wherever we are, wherever we go, just as he's always been, just as we've read through what Stephen has shared. To Abraham, he promised his protection, and he was there for him. And to the enslaved Israelites, he promised deliverance, and he delivered on that promise. And to his people anywhere and everywhere, he promises his presence. He promises his presence. So, you've been uprooted, or you're about to be uprooted. But that doesn't mean that you have to be unrooted. Jesus isn't beholden to geography. He can be with you in this place. He can be with you away from this place. He'll always be there to be your anchor, to anchor your uprooted steps. Though we may be uprooted, we don't have to be unrooted. So let's talk now about unrootedness, being unanchored without any firm foundation. So first, how had unrootedness been a problem for God's people in the past? Now for one, they had a history of rejecting God's appointed saviors. Stephen draws special attention to Moses here. And remember what we said at the beginning. Stephen was being accused of speaking against Moses and the temple. Moses and the temple. Well, let's talk about Moses, Stephen seems to say here. Verse 35. God sent him, Moses, as both ruler and redeemer. And all of these signs that accompanied him. Ruler and redeemer. Yet the people rejected him, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" Now, Stephen's implication here, as with the temple, is that the people haven't just done that to Moses. They've done the same thing again. God has sent the prophet like Moses, the one that Moses himself had foretold, Jesus. That's what Stephen is getting at here. God has sent Jesus as ruler and redeemer with all the accompanying signs. But the people have once again said, this time to Jesus, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" Their refusal to root themselves in Moses, their refusal to root themselves in Jesus, meant their refusal to root themselves in God. They had a history of rejecting God's appointed saviors. They also had a history of idolatry. Verse 40. The Exodus generation had said to Aaron, that's Moses' brother, "Make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Stephen goes on, he highlights the idolatry of their past. Verse 43. "You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Rephan, the images that you made to worship." And all of that resulted in their exile to Babylon. His audience knew this story. They knew the people's repeated fall into idolatry. A history of rejecting their saviors, a history of idolatry. In short, a history of unrootedness in God. Stephen summarizes things this way, verse 51. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your father not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." God offered them anchor after anchor after anchor. The law, the prophets, Jesus himself. But one after another, they threw them off and they remained unrooted. Unrooted. Listen to what Jesus himself said. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The rootedness of a rock, Christ himself, not the unrootedness of sand. That's what's on offer to us, to you and me. That's what God offers to us. And now it's time to reflect a bit on your own story. For me to reflect on my story. Maybe you grew up in the church. Maybe you grew up far from the church. But regardless, perhaps you sense that right now your life is not rooted in God's appointed Savior, Jesus. You know you've resisted, or you perceive now that you've been resisting. And if that's you, lift up your head, open your heart, open your ears, let the Holy Spirit speak to you forgiveness. You can turn back to Christ. You can turn to Christ for the first time now. You can let him renew you in a rootedness that will save you. A rootedness, body and soul. A rootedness of your humanity, as you were meant to be. It's a rootedness in the risen Jesus. And all of us, Christian, non-Christian, people come here to the city worshiping many things. Many, many things. Political visions, the promotion of their own identity, their own career, what have you. There are as many altars in the city as there are street corners, as there are people in the city. I'm not saying all these things are bad. It's not a bad reason to come here. If you have a political vision, if you have a particular job that you're excited about, those aren't bad things. But if they unroot you from Christ, if they are things or people that you give your whole self to, then they're idols, and they will ultimately unroot you from everything you were meant for, everything you were designed for, new life planted in Jesus. That's what you're made for. So regardless of what you came here to do, regardless of what you've been doing so far while you've been here, you can still grow your roots deep into Christ. You can grow your roots into his people. So that when you get uprooted from here, and chances are that will happen sooner than you think. When you get uprooted from here, you don't have to leave unrooted. You can leave rooted in Christ. Though we may be uprooted, we don't have to be unrooted. Now, as we're going to see next week, Stephen would go on to be uprooted from life itself. He's about to die, if you haven't heard this story. But even death couldn't unroot him from Christ. Death couldn't do that. And that's the ultimate promise for us too. We're alive now. And at some point from now, all of us are going to be uprooted from life. All of us. Death rate's still 100%. But you can always be rooted in Christ. He is the ruler and the redeemer. That's Stephen's message. That's God's message for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the prophet that Moses promised. He is your new temple, and he is making us into a new temple. Lord, we thank you that regardless of where we are, you have promised to be with us, and that our lives can be rooted in you. Lord, help us to take these words to heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.